Father, this morning we love you. We thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for joining us in this place. And we declare, great are you, Lord. We thank you for the price you paid for us. We thank you for the cross. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning as we hear your word. God, we love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good worship today. Thank you so much, team, and singing good today on this rain day. We got us a rain day here today. All right. The men's breakfast has been moved from the third Saturday, which would be a week from next, till this coming Saturday. And the reason for that is so that we can help the donations fair, Laura Place, the leader of our donations fair, get all set up if any help is needed. And Laura is getting with the blood people, and the blood people are going to come and take blood. But we need three more people to sign up to do that. You have to say you can have so many, and she needs three more. So Laura Place is right there. There's two right there. There's three right there. Just after service, go over there and let Laura know and let them take your blood. Anybody else? There's one. There's one back there. You're going to get a lot of blood. Very good. I had a dream. I have dreams all the time, it seems like. But I had a dream this past week, and in that dream, this is what I remembered, that I stood before you just like this, handsome and shining in the light. And thank you very much. And I said, are you ready to hear the word of the Lord? And there was like the roaring of waves with everybody saying, yes, we are. Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord? Now you went too far. Mark chapter 9. Thank you. That's not too far. That's awesome. Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord?
Yes, we are.
All right. Thank you very much. Get ready. Get ready to hear the word of the Lord, because that's what we do every Sunday. We open his word and see what he has to say. And so we're going through a cycle. Believe God, love without strings, and obey without reservation. And so last week we talked about obeying without reservation. So let's go back and see one of the places in the scripture where we can see the importance of belief. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in Mark chapter 9. And we look at verses 14 through 27. 29. And in this scripture, we see the desperate dad who has a son who is controlled by an evil spirit. And he has just exhausted all solutions to help his child. And he brings his child to the disciples, and the disciples are not able to cast the evil spirit out. And so when Jesus walks up on them, they're arguing about why they're not able. The religious leaders and people are having debate about why they cannot release this child from this evil spirit. And what we have today is Jesus getting involved with that conversation and showing them something that they need to see and releasing the boy from the evil spirit. Verse 14, when they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them. And some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. When the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can only be cast out by prayer." And some manuscripts adds the term fasting. And so, rightfully so, we should take a look at that. This kind can be cast out only by prayer and, of course, fasting. And fasting is a good thing. The Bible doesn't tell us if we fast, but when we fast. Certainly, if we have a child that is tormented by an evil spirit or has a major issue or a problem of any kind, prayer and fasting is going to be the normal so that we can deal business with God. Now, there's something perhaps we just need to say. Miracles still happen today. Still happens. It goes on. Now, we all admit that we live in a place where, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem as visible to us in some way, especially when you go to places like Cambodia and you see it so readily. I mean, we were there teaching for 3 days at the conference, and sitting right there on the very front row was a pastor, and Kyle reminded me that that's the pastor that could not read, prayed to God that he would be able to read the Bible, and in a period of a few weeks, he's now able to read. And it's very goosebump-making, spiritual goosebumps to sit there and look across about 5 foot from you as we're teaching them, and I just, every now and then I look up and see him following along in the Scripture and reading. That's an amazing thing. Now, others testify that that is the truth. And I've told you before, Sal Mao could not see. He had sight, and then he lost his sight. And the moment that he opened his eyes from receiving Christ as Savior, not only could he see spiritually, but he could also see visibly. Unbelievable. That's bizarre. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, and I've thrown out some theories for you, and we've talked about that, and many of you that have seen these kind of things happen, you know, said it's because of this, it's because of lack of medicine, it's because of that. I don't have any of that all figured out. I'm not quite sure. But I will say this, that miracles still happen in the world today, and they still happen here. Miracles still happen. You know, medicine is a wonderful thing. Medicine is a blessing. And all you got to do to realize that medicine is a blessing is go to some place in our world where medicine is not available. My goodness, can you imagine just the flus and the strep throats and the ear infections without antibiotics? I mean, so having antibiotics is a beautiful thing. Now, personally, I believe that God has given the people that have created all that brains and abilities, and He's given surgeons the ability to do the surgery, the minds to be able to do all that. And so we are blessed by God's healing with medicine. And medicine is a very wonderful, wonderful gift that we have here in our land. And all we hear about medicine is the insurance issues today. But we ought to stop every now and then and go, but holy cow, our hospitals, our doctors, what we have available to us is an amazing thing. I mean, if any of us have strep throat this week or an ear infection or bronchitis or something like that, we can go to a doctor and they're going to give us some pills and we're going to start down the road to recovery very quickly. That's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Never, ever take that for granted. Now, God always does the healing. Don't lose sight of that. Okay? Regardless of the process of God's healing touch, God does the healing. Now, remember, when we did Believe God last time, we talked about the great miracle, and we clearly stated, sometimes the answer to our prayer for healing is yes. Sometimes the answer to our prayer of healing is no. Right? And we have to be aware of that. And part of believing God is accepting whatever God answers with. Sometimes God allows people not to be healed for His purpose. Sometimes God allows people to be healed for His purpose. Now, the healing stories in the Bible that we have are there so that God can show His power and His strength so that people can believe. So, the greatest miracle of all is believing in Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. And every time someone believes, that's a miracle. Every time someone grows in the Lord and crosses a barrier or has a crisis of faith and believes God and trusts God and moves forward, that's a miracle. And a miracle is where God is at work and the normal is being altered. It's being changed. And so miracles still happen. Now, some lessons from this story. The first lesson that we can learn from the story is there are stubborn spirits that torment. We don't talk a whole lot today about evil spirits. We talk a lot about angels. But you can't really have angels without demons. How can you do that? Either angels are no longer in place and at work, or demons are no longer in place at work. Foolishness to think that. Angels are real and present. They are God's instruments. They are God's messengers. They are to serve God. They are for His purpose. Angels are alive and well and active today. So are demons. Demons are alive and active today. Just like Samuel disobeys God and he does not follow through with complete obedience, and so God allowed a tormenting spirit to torment Saul. And Saul struggled with depression and fear. And that's how the evil spirit tormented Saul. God allowed that to happen. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's today. Sometimes the evil spirit torments people. Sometimes God allows the evil spirit to torment people for His purpose. Difficult to understand all things, but what we need to be aware of is that there are stubborn spirits today, just like then. Now, something else that we learn from this scripture is that Jesus examined their faith. We see clearly in verse 19. He walks up, they're arguing. He says, "What are you arguing about?" And they say, "Man, look, we're trying to figure out why in the world this evil spirit cannot be released from this boy." And Jesus says to them, "You faithless people." That's what He says. He says, "You're without faith. You're struggling with faith. How in the world can this be going on today?" From His perspective, after the transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, where are you boys at? My goodness. You just see the transfiguration, and you see Moses and Elijah appear right before you. After all, that was the purpose of the hiking trip, to see me fully revealed to you and to see the power of God, and so that your faith would be deepened and strengthened and your faith would grow. And he, all of a sudden, just a very short period of time, turns into a situation, and Peter, James, and John are struggling with what was going on. The disciples couldn't cast this demon out, and he says the reason why they couldn't cast it out was faithlessness, lack of faith. And Jesus is pretty harsh on him. He says, you know, how long got to put up with you people? That's exactly what he says. How long must I put up with you? Why aren't you getting this? Why is it taking so long? What's the problem? Isn't it interesting how we are very sensitive to anyone questioning our faith? And here Jesus clears a bell, questions their faith. I've seen people absolutely get sideways with each other in the church, in the body of Christ, because the preacher or someone else questioned their lack of faith. Struggle with that. It says, and we need to be, that's a poor attitude, that's a poor mindset for us to have, that we are not willing to look at our faith and ask ourselves some real hard faith questions. Why isn't so-and-so following the Lord? It's a faith issue. They have a lack of faith. Why, how come they haven't grown very much in 5 or 10 years? It's a lack of faith. Somewhere along the way, they've shut down. And they're not willing to believe, they're not willing to trust, not willing to come forward, because God's almighty, and if you're connecting with Him, you can't help but move forward. You've got to move forward. You can't just stay with the way you are. You can't go with God and stay the where you are. None of us can. We just can't do that. And so Jesus questions their faith. And a healthy Christian journey is we have to be open to the fact that we might lack faith. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you, when Jesus begins to deal with you about your lack of faith, when the Word of God convicts you about lack of change, you're still relying on yourself. You're still relying on your own strength. You're still relying on your own ability to figure things out. You're still relying on what you know. You're still relying on where you are. You're not willing to move forward. You hear the Word of God and you stay right where you are. When you look at your life and you lay your life over the Scripture and you see the difference between your life and the Scripture over and over and over, that's a faith matter, faith issue, a faith problem. Isn't it interesting that in our land, people go to church Sunday after Sunday and there's a large percentage of people that never change? How can that be? How can that be when we have Jesus Christ, Lord of all, the Holy Spirit, convicting, teaching, guiding, reminding people of what it means to be a believer in Christ, reminding people to how strong Jesus is and how powerful He is, and people are just going to live their life stuck in a rut? That's a faith matter. We think about a sin matter, sure enough. It's a disobedient matter, sure enough. But the underlying thing with all that is faith. It's a lack of faith. And God is always at work to deepen and grow our faith. He's always at work doing that. He's always at work deepening and growing our faith. That's why we have troubles. That's why we have struggles. That's why we have God come along and saying, I want this from you. I want you to move forward in this area of your life. And we come up against that and we go, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We have a real comforting word here, though, in this Scripture for those who are stuck somewhere, those who are lacking faith. Look what happens here. Jesus says, how long has this been going on? And the boy's father said, since he was a little boy. It's scary. This guy is in a desperate place with his son. Can you imagine? The Spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water. Can you imagine how horrible that would be? Now, for us, it'd be, well, just don't build a fire. Well, they cook with a fire. It wasn't that easy. You had to have a fire all the time. And he says, have mercy on us. Help us. He's desperate with this. And Jesus said, anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Man, that's an honest response from this dad. I do believe, but man, help my unbelief. Don't you have that today? I have that. Now, I think I've grown in faith. I still feel the conviction of, why are you still in the same place with faith? I feel that myself. But it is crystal clear in my life that oftentimes I have belief with unbelief. Now, hopefully the belief has grown stronger than belief, but nevertheless, it's there. Let's pray for this illness. I believe, but man, wow. Let's pray for God to meet the need we have here in this situation, in this family situation, in this relational situation, in this circumstance that's going on with this people. They seem to be, because of their own choice perhaps, or because of circumstances out of their control, they seem to be in a hole that's very difficult to get them out of. Addiction, a financial crisis, perhaps it's a lifestyle decision that's eaten their lunch. It's something that's just got a hold of them. And it just continues and it continues and it continues. And for the life of us, we look at the situation and go, we have prayed and prayed and prayed for that. And nothing seems to change in their want to, in their life. And so we come to pray again and we believe, but yet we have unbelief. Now, because this is in the Bible, and because Jesus does not cry out against this dad, I think it's really important. And so Jesus is okay for us to be honest that we believe, but help me overcome unbelief. And so we move forward. Listen, we move forward with the belief that we have. And we trust the Lord with our unbelief. Crossroads or salvation? Maybe that's where you are. You've been thinking about salvation. You've been thinking about coming to Christ. You're a curious person. Or maybe you have a friend that's curious. Every now and then they show some interest. Every now and then they show some possibility of becoming a follower of Jesus. If that's your case today, move forward with the faith you have and see what the Lord does. Move forward. If you think that God will not forgive you of your sin, now, we can tell you that God will forgive you of all your sin, but you're holding back saying, I just don't believe God is going to forgive me of all of my sin. Well, the Bible tells you that. Yeah, I know, but my sin's deep. My sin is huge. Well, okay. All right, then. Believe God. Move forward with the belief you have and see what He does with your unbelief. Move forward. Move forward. That's what this dad did. He moved forward with the belief he had. He moved forward. If you're at the crossroads of really surrendering your life to Christ, move forward with the belief you have. If it's a stewardship matter, if it's a servanthood matter, if it's living a life for prayer, believe God with the faith you have, which is a gift from God, by the way, and He grows it, and He strengthens it, He deepens it, and give Him the unbelief and see what He does with it. That's just what this dad did. I do believe, but help my unbelief. Move forward with the faith you have and see what Jesus does. Peter had been fishing all night long, hadn't caught anything. In Luke chapter 5, we see the story of Jesus comes along and He gets in the boat with him and He says, put out to the deep water for a catch. And Peter says, now, I think he says this in the frame of mind with all due respect, we have fished all night long and we haven't caught anything. Now, my way of thinking of Peter in the situation, going, now wait a minute, fishing's my business, it's what I do. If I can't catch him, nobody can. That's what I think Peter's saying. And we have fished all night long, and we hadn't caught a thing. Jesus says, put the net on the other side of the boat. Get on with it. Now, Jesus said to them, "Trust me, Peter. Trust me." That's behind that. Trust me. And Peter says something that's really important for us. He says, "Because you say so." Because you say so. I'll do it. Now, I think that what Peter is saying is, "I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe that we ain't caught no fish all night long. And I don't believe that they're going to be biting this morning. We're going to be able to draw them in today. We're not going to be able to catch them in that net today. We're not going to gather them. They're not here. You know, so circle the wagons here. Let's go on home and go to sleep. We've been fishing all night long." But he says, "Okay, because you say so, I believe, but help my unbelief. Show me something. I believe, Lord Jesus, but show me." That's what he did. And of course, Jesus fills up the net with fish. "I believe, but help my unbelief." If you're struggling, if you're in a crossroads of your life today, if you're having a hard time moving forward, if you're stuck in a rut, if you hadn't been able to quit drinking and you need to, you hadn't quit those drugs and you need to, you know, if you can't quit the pornography and you need to, if you've got to make a major change in your life, believe God, trust Him, and move forward and let Him deal with your unbelief. Make progress in faith today. Make it today. Start today. If you got to quit cocaine, start today. Move forward. If you have not surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, do so today. And believe Him. And whatever belief, unbelief, struggle you're dealing with, see what the Lord does with that. Because we grow in faith. We don't have to have everything lined up for Jesus to receive us. Thank goodness that's the truth. Thank goodness that's the truth. So, move forward with the faith you have and see what Jesus does. The last thing. I'll leave that for the last thing. The next thing we see is after the healing takes place, in verse 28-29, they get off by themselves in a house. "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can only be cast out by prayer and perhaps fasting." Stubborn spirits. Now, this lets us know that there are some heavy hitter spirits, perhaps some light hitter spirits. But this, he says, this is a bad dude here, Jesus says. "This kind can't be easily cast out." Some depressions can't be easily cast out. Some fear can't be easily removed. There are some evil spirits that are tormenting people with fear. There are some evil spirits that are tormenting people with guilt. There's some evil spirits today that are tormenting people with great doubt and unbelief. And some require tremendous spiritual weaponry from us. Full dependence upon the Lord, prayer, fasting, going before Him and recognizing it's not in our achievement, it's not in our effort, it's not through anything we can do, that we have got to pray with all of our heart and being and just pour ourselves out to Him, because there are some stubborn, evil spirits that only come out through prayer and fasting. That's what Jesus says. That's the word of the Lord. Now, in closing, here we go. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus says, "I command you, come out of this child and never enter him again." There's great power in the words of Jesus. The spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. It is the spirit of Satan. It is the spirit of evil spirits to be angry and know their time is short. That's what the book of Revelation says. And when Satan is going down, he pitches a fit. He pitches a fit. He takes all he can take with him. And so this evil spirit knows he's going down. He's being cast out. He's losing this battle. And so he gives one last attempt to make this boy's life miserable. And he threw him into a violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead, lifeless. He's not breathing. It's over." That's what they're saying. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. I think that's the best thing to take from this passage. Look what Jesus did. Jesus spoke the words and cast that evil spirit out. Then when the boy appears to be dead, Jesus took the boy by the hand, helped him to his feet, and the boy stood up. He's released from the evil spirit. The power of Jesus. Remember the question I asked you a few weeks ago, how strong is Jesus to you? Is he Lord of all to you? He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. Let's pray. Help us, Lord. Help us to see these truths today. Help us to be receptive to your word. And I pray today that each one of us, Lord, will see how absolutely strong and powerful the Lord Jesus is. And Father, as we are facing perhaps many different kinds of challenges, obstacles, struggles, maybe strongholds, maybe even the presence or the oppression of evil spirits, stubborn evil spirits, help us to move forward with the belief we have, seeing what you will do and giving you our unbelief. Father, you are always faithful and always so gracious to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, please come forward.